still on?
We're good.
Well, good evening. Good to be with you all. You want to be careful who you're preaching to and winning to the Lord. They might turn out to be a son-in-law. It's a very large possibility. And we have been blessed by having Marco, and we couldn't ask for a better son-in-law. He's always there at every nasty, dirty job I have to do. He's right there willing to get right into it. We had a drain plug one time, and we literally burnt the clothes when we got done cleaning that thing. He's out in the street losing everything. It was so nasty. He never left my side except to go vomit. But and when we got done, the clothes were literally ruined. And he was there every minute. We went through the thing together. Been a lot of experiences. And I love you, brother. And good man. Still owes me. I gave him a very good wife. So you're still in debt. But the Lord's also blessed me with a wonderful wife. We're about to have our 40th anniversary, and this marriage wouldn't have worked if it hadn't have been for her attitude and her willingness to put up with a lot of my foolishness and my anger. She never fought. She just gets quiet and walks away, and it's awful hard to fight alone. So appreciate you, sweetheart. Last year, I don't know if you remember, I had a trouble with my voice, and I called it metallosis. They took out the plate one Tuesday, and by that Friday, I was able to blow the walls off the plaza downtown. It's amazing what just a little bit affects your voice, and
that's right.
But it just as soon as they took the plate out, it took care of that. And so now this year, all I'm carrying is a kidney stone. So old age is not as attractive as you might think. But
golden years,
yeah. I'll take the gold, not the years. We are struggling some things in the business. The violence is erupted big time. Really pray for Mexico. It's been hard on us, but it could be an opportunity. People that are unsure and in fear seem to seek out other things. And our prayer is that Mexico will turn to something. And as preaching the gospel, we want to give them that something to turn to. Right now, Ciudad Valles seems to be the most violent places that I've seen. That's a town about an hour to the east of where we live in the same state. They have a little a newspaper comes out, colored newspaper with all the gruesome things that happen in the area, and every day there's two or three people being killed over there. I was reading it, and my Spanish isn't real great yet, and I was reading that they were being electrocuted, and I was reading it, two people electrocuted and four people found every day somebody, until just before I came up, there was two people that electrocuted in their car. And I thought, how do you do that? You know? I mean, you can lick the battery and it won't electrocute you. And then I got to reading it better and it says, executed. And it's pretty bad over there. They really are. It's a real concern. Just a week before I come up here, they broke into my truck in the middle of the day and stole all my tools, $5,000 worth of tools. They broke into a store, then 2 days later, I think the same two guys, and robbed our store with the kids at gunpoint. They're stopping people. When people stop at a stoplight, they're tapping on the window with a gun and says, open the door, and they're throwing them out and stealing their cars in the middle of the day. And now that they've had a government change, that's power exchange. And then it's a fight to gain back what they lost for the last 12 years in the other government. I'm predicting a real turmoil again in Mexico. So you pray for the safety of the brothers and sisters. We've had it touch people in the churches, and it's around us. We're in it, and you pray for us, and that God would use this to bring people to their knowledge of their need of a real hope of Jesus Christ. Amen. Look, if you would, in Isaiah 58. Isaiah 58. Start out with just two verses. Isaiah 58, 1. It says, "Cry aloud, spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily, and delight to know my ways, as a nation that did righteousness, and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to God." The first phrase, "cry aloud and spare not, lift up your voice," sounds like a really good verse for an evangelistic conference.
Yeah.
You know, that's what started the great revival in Mexico 30 years ago, was people standing up and crying aloud the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's a marvelous thing to see preachers out there preaching the gospel and people sticking their head out and listening, going to the plaza and seeing people line up and listening to the gospel and then having discussions afterwards. But the context isn't to the lost.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
It says, "and show my people their transgressions, and the house of Jacob their sins." Here he's talking to the people of God. And it's amazing, the message that I have tonight, if I can get it expressed as I feel it, as I see it, really goes along with Marco's. The last time I followed Michael in a preaching, he got up and preached, maybe some of you remembered, how that because you're so useless and worthless that God has chosen you, and my message was just the opposite, that because you are so prepared that you're the one, and it was a correction, I think. He would. They were both true. But tonight, it seems that we have the same thought dealing with ourselves. I don't have any statistics to prove this, and I would like someone maybe to do some study on it, but I think if you combined all the religions in the world that hail to a higher power of one type or another, you would have more financial strength than ExxonMobil and Walmart put together. You definitely would have more control over people than anything you can imagine. Because in the name of a religion, in the name of their God, you have terrorists. You have people that quit good jobs and go to Mexico to preach the gospel. It's a tremendous influence, the religions of the world. And then you think about the United States, where Christianity is the strongest than anywhere else on the face of the planet, and people that truly have the Word of God in their hand, and they preach a message of some kind, and yet we don't see the United States being pulled out of the abyss that it's falling into. How many churches are there in San Antonio that we would say have Christian teaching? And yet, every vile and immoral thing is not only happening as it used to underground, but now wide open. And in our view. To the point that our laws are now being passed to facilitate it and make it natural. The television programs are all pointed to making all this nasty, vile stuff look normal and natural. Can't send your kids to school anymore. They're teaching all this stuff that's just destroying the morality and the virtues. Everything that's clean and pure and holy is being attacked. But we're full of churches. And we have so many people, especially here in the Bible Belt of Texas, that would say that they're Christian. And yet these things are happening.
That's right.
We took a trip when our last grandbaby was born to Virginia. On the way, we went through Atlanta, where my sister is, and we went to this mega church. And I'm talking five congregations scattered around, and one preacher that preaches in one of them, and they have a video that they show at the other. Of course, we were there, and it was amazing. This screen was twice as wide or more than this. three or four times higher. And when the preaching got started, the pastor walks in off the side and he stands in the front. And when it was all over, Susan says, "Oh, weren't we lucky? He was actually preaching here." I said, "No, that was a video." Yeah, it looked, it was incredible the way it looked, so real. And we listened to a 45-minute sermon, which was an infomercial for the new program he's starting of house groups. There was no gospel. There was no pointing out of any irregularity in someone's life that they might want to correct, much less talk about sin. And that day there was, they said, 15 to 20,000 people called themselves faithful Christians. That's not going to change the wickedness that's coming upon this nation.
That's right.
It says here in verse 2, "Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways. As a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinances of their God, they ask of me the ordinances of justice." They take delight in approaching to God. The appearance of godliness. What it says, the appearance of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And that's what we have today in Christianity.
Amen.
Putting on the appearance, but no power. And they can argue all they want that because of their faithfulness to their church, their faithfulness to whatever they're doing, the amount of money that they give, there's no evidence of power. The amount of money that's spent on Christian religion today would finance a whole lot of campaigns.
Yeah, that's right.
It would do a whole lot to change this world.
Yes.
And they're not doing that. They certainly aren't preaching the gospel.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's what this country lacks. And this is what we lack. This is what we need to see in our lives. Are we just this facade of spirituality with no power? Look what verse 3 says. "Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not." You can do all the right things. You can fast and still be blind.
That's right.
You can be just seeking, doing the right things, and never come to see the things clearly. Second part says, "Therefore have we afflicted our souls, and thou takest no knowledge." Reminds me of what we've seen in Mexico with the floggings mortification. They mortify themselves. They do penance and all these things, seeking power of God. They never come to the knowledge. They never come to the understanding of what's really taking place. They have missed the mark. Doing the right things, but not hitting the right point. "Behold, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure and exact all your labors." You find pleasure and exact all your labors. And I think that's one of the keys. It's your labors. Are we working for the Lord, or are we working for ourselves? I've been a part of several different things through the 60 years that I've been on the planet. And most places are more interested in their building, more interested in their stained glass windows, more interested in their projects than they are what God's labor is. Never saw a street preacher till I came here. The first street preacher I actually saw was the brother from Town East Baptist Church down in front of the Alamo. And then I found you brothers that preaching. And then we went down to Mexico and Bill took us out in the street. And I had to learn Spanish to be a part of it. And God wants preaching. He wants a message to be preached.
Amen.
His labor is to win souls.
Amen.
Not the big buildings. Not to enrich ourselves with our programs and our projects. your labors. Verse 4, behold, ye fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day, to make your voice be heard on high. You'll do a lot of things. You'll put up a fight. I know people that have devoted their lives to the political arena as Christians. They've devoted their lives to social efforts, putting shoes on poor people's feet and feeding them. And a lot of these things. But you won't fast. What does it say? To make your voice to be heard on high. That's the goal that God has for us. To proclaim with a loud voice Jesus Christ and the salvation through Him.
Amen.
The solution to the problems in the United States are not who becomes president, who doesn't.
That's right. Amen.
The solution is that the Christians proclaim with a loud voice Jesus Christ and His saving power.
Amen.
We must not get confused. Here's the children of Israel. Here's the house of Jacob putting on the show that they're doing things right. They're fasting, but they're not hitting the mark. They're stepping around. They're not doing what God is claiming to do. And He says, cry out, spare not, lift up your voice like a trumpet to the people that are off the mark. Verse 5, is it such a fast that I have chosen? Did He choose that fast? That fast that you should fast for strife and debate? That you should fast with the fist of wickedness? That you should... And it says, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush, and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this fast an acceptable day of the Lord? There was a time when Joshua had a defeat in Ai, and he fell on his face, crying out to the Lord, and he was crying, Lord, why this? Why have you forsaken us? And what did God say? Get up. This isn't the time to be in ashes and sackcloth. This isn't the time to be on your face. It's time to correct some things. And here's what He's saying again. You're fasting and you're doing all the things that the Bible even says to do at times. But it isn't the time. Just like Marco was saying, it's time to be a soldier. If I was dictator of the United States, the first thing I would do is change the name of the Department of Defense. It would return, as it was in the day of old, the Department of War. And we as Christians need to quit being on the defense. Just like Marco said, we need to be out for war. We're out to work, to fight for a victory and not defend us from a defeat. The best remedy to defeat is victory.
That's right.
It's the only one.
Right.
You haven't seen a war won in this country since World War II because they went for unconditional surrender.
You got
our army standing as a mediator between warring factions and getting kicked on both sides.
Right.
And Christians are just trying to hold back the attack. I think Marco preached it pretty good. We're to be soldiers for a battle. It's not time to be laid down, prostrate, fasting for that we don't get defeated, but rather to stand up and fight. We've been given the armor. It'd be a different thing if you were completely unarmed. But we have been armed. We have the Word of God. We have the Spirit of God. And most of us in this room have been well trained. And yet we haven't stood up to fight. We haven't stood up to take the Word of God and proclaim it loudly. And in our first verse, the cry aloud is to wake up the soldiers. Verse 6. Is not this the fast that I have chosen? Here's the fast that the Lord has chosen.
Yeah, that's right.
This is the mark that we are to hit. It says, to loose the bands of the wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke.
Amen.
There's our goal.
Amen.
There's what God says. You as my soldiers are to do this.
Amen. That's right.
And we get confused, and we get lazy, and we get distracted, and do every other thing there is, but go after those that are in bands of wickedness, those that are under heavy burdens, and those that are oppressed. We are to be preachers of the gospel of Jesus Christ because that's what breaks those bands. That's what makes people free.
That's right. Amen.
And that's what changes our society.
That's right. That's right.
Verse 7. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thy own flesh? There's a lot of need out there, brothers and sisters. There's a lot of people that are hungry, spiritually starving. There's people out there that have no clothing spiritually. They are naked before God and will be cast into outer darkness. And we have the clothing.
That's right, amen.
We have the food. And yet, we're on our face praying for something or asking for something that's off the mark. Then shall, in verse 8, then they shall break forth as the morning, and thy health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee, and the glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. 30 years ago, church sent down some people that hit the mark, in my opinion. Hundreds of people, thousands heard the gospel, even thousands have been saved. There's 25, 26 churches. They're just starting another church in where they were going to, huh? In Sapopan, yeah, Sapopan. One of the first missionaries out of that Mexican missionaries that came out of León went to Celaya, and then he went to Guadalajara, and now he's went to Sapopan. He had 7 visitors his first meeting in Sapopan. Sapopan, for those that don't know, is a little town just outside of Guadalajara where they keep the second most reverent Virgin Mary in Mexico. Bill and I were there with our cameras, and one time we passed out 60,000 tracts in a few hours, and then we got the tracts passed out, so we went and got our cameras, and he had a video camera, which was a new thing back then. And I had this big long lens thing, and they thought we were reporters from the States. So they said, come on. And they put us in this basket and run us way up in the air so we could take pictures of this. And they didn't know we were the ones trying to stop this deal. There's 3 million people, literally, between Sapopan and Guadalajara and the special road they built. It was the biggest mass of people I've ever seen. He's got videos of it somewhere. And there's all these people that are coming down to bow down and worship this idol. And they're starting to church in the middle of this thing. Out of the gospel that was preached.
If it
would not have happened if it hadn't have been the focus on the gospel of Jesus Christ being preached and proclaimed.
Amen. That's right.
Praise the Lord. And the Lord shall be thy reward. You know, there's been some sacrifice put out by many. There's some of you that have given and given faithfully. There's people on my list of donors that have been there every month for 30 years.
Amen.
Every month for 30 years. Now that's a sacrifice.
Amen.
You've seen me go through troubles, and I'm going through some again. And you're faithful. There's men and their wives and their children that have been there faithfully, doing the work of the Lord. I preached here a while back about the draftees. Remember that? All the kids that were down there? They're part of the ministry.
Yeah, that's right.
And they sacrificed some things.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
My kids didn't get to go play sports. They didn't get to play in the band. They didn't do a lot of things because I took them to Mexico.
Right. Yeah.
The other missionaries' kids the same. And they were expected to sit there in the line and take part in the meetings. And
That's
a sacrifice.
Yep. That's right.
And the reward is the Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
And they're rewarded to know that they have changed people's lives. That's what it says, doesn't it? And the glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. We have been rewarded over and over again. They talked about Marco and Susan about looking at the church. We get discouraged and we look at the church. Marco says there hasn't been much growth. I see a lot of growth. I see 40 people that didn't know the Lord a few years ago. Some of them a few months ago. I see this woman she talked about being so joyful. You know anybody that lost somebody personally in 9/11 at the towers? Her fiancé was there to buy a wedding dress 2 blocks from when they went down. He ran into the towers to help and never came out. She just received last month
a watch,
her engagement ring. That woman went through some hard times.
Yeah, that's right.
She's the most joyful person in our meetings.
Amen.
She's praising the Lord. She lifts up her hands. She praises God. She is a faithful witness. She goes out in the ranches and witnesses when she's a doctor. She's a medical doctor. And she gets her week off and she spends them in the ranches witnessing.
Amen.
There's no fruit? God did a miracle in that woman's life.
Amen.
Allowed to heal her from tremendous loss.
Amen.
And make her the most joyful Christian that we've seen in many churches.
Amen.
That's what a reward.
Amen.
What a reward. It says in verse 9, and they shall call, and the Lord shall answer. Now there's a reward.
Amen.
Why aren't we changing this world if we have all this Christian religion? It says if we call, He will answer.
Amen.
We have that promise. And He shall say, here am I. The reason we are powerless is because we're not focused on what God has sent us to labor at. We get distracted in our own labors, and so many times it looks so good. I see these mission conferences as an opportunity to look at what we're laboring at. All through the year, things come up. We got things to take care of, and this has to happen, and another thing has to take place, and some of them are necessary to do, but what is our focus? If it's not Jesus Christ and Him crucified and proclaiming that to the lost, we're not striking the mark. And if we are, when we call, He will answer, here am I. If you take thou away from the midst of thee the yoke and putting forth of the finger and speaking vanity.
Yeah.
A lot of speaking of vanity.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm guilty. I manage to brag on myself every chance I get. That's vanity.
Yeah.
Who are we?
Amen.
The victories we've won for the Lord have been done through the Lord's strength.
Amen.
The Lord with us, we can do all things.
Amen.
And we need to remember that.
Amen.
And the putting forth of the finger.
Yeah.
It's your fault. You did it.
Yeah.
It wasn't me. We need to look at ourselves.
Amen.
There's no victory in this church. He did it. No, we start with ourselves.
Amen.
It's not a pointing of the finger. It's Lord, put me where I need to be.
Amen.
One soldier at a time.
Amen.
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 And if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity. and thy darkness be as the noonday. We're to be a light in this world. There's no shining out. As long as we're concerned about protecting ourselves, as long as we are speaking of ourselves, boasting of ourselves, it's Jesus Christ. And it's His power and His glory that we seek. And the world needs to hear that. The guy next to you needs to hear that. The Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought. There's some drought going on in a few, in several of the missionaries, several of the home folks. Who's not having a rough time now? Economics went down. You got insecurities all around. You got problems with the family. There's some drought going on. But the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought. That's when the Lord's tested. That's when you're tested. And that's when you can say, the Lord is with me and by me. And you go through that drought and make thy... And it says, and thou shalt be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not.
Amen.
You want that living spring in your life?
Amen.
It takes an examination of the heart. It takes examination of the self. It's to realize we've been given all that we need and put it to work. To use it. When we're out in the streets and we're preaching to the unsaved, we're telling them to gird up. To pick up the shield of faith. To put on the helmet of salvation. We're telling them to get prepared. But brothers and sisters, we've got that. There's not many unsaved here tonight, I don't imagine. I know most of you. I know your testimony. You've been girded. I've been girded. Sad to say, most of the time, I'm not even on a defensive mode, much less an offensive mode. Verse 12, and they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt rise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in.
Amen.
What name are you going to have?
Amen.
Not the one on the tombstone.
Amen.
What name are you going to have? What name is God going to give you? It says a new name. Amen. You've given a new name. Are you the repairer?
Amen.
Are you the rebuilder?
Amen. Praise God.
What name are you going to have? Look at your life right now and what you have done. Are you anything that's been positive? Are you the grumbler, the complainer, the detractor? No matter what the church wants to do, you've got, I don't think I want to do that. No, I'm against that. What name have you got? He says you could be the repairer. You could be the restorer. You could raise up the foundations of many generations.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
You know the effect of one person getting saved?
Amen.
Just one person getting saved. The Bible says that for your sin, He will condemn four generations. I like to think for your obedience, He'll bless four generations. I call it the chain of condemnation or the chain of blessing.
Amen.
And you have the opportunity to start a chain.
Amen.
But it starts with yourself.
Amen.
It starts with you correcting. You correcting your aim. What am I shooting for? What is the target? I'm looking to strike the target. What God wants, the labor of God. I'm going to win souls. I'm going to put the gospel out to be heard as loud as I can preach it.
Amen.
As loud as it can be told. As clear as possible.
Amen.
You might have to learn some verses. You might have to prepare yourself some for that.
Amen.
But it's in your hands.
Yes.
And you have the Spirit of God to go with you.
Amen.
What name will you have? The repairer of the breach, the restorer of the paths to dwell in.
Amen.